Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And we'll go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. He covers the Arizona Cardinals for Sports Illustrated, Donnie Druin. Donnie, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Gentlemen, how's it going?
Doing great. Donnie, first question I got to ask is I saw him kick ass and take names last year in the SEC, and that's Walter Nolan. Man. When he wanted to, he flipped that dial, and, man, he was something to have to deal with. I'd watched him at A&M, and he was a good player there. Last year at Ole Miss, man, ain't nobody blocking him one-on-one. How has he looked in training camp?
Yeah, so he actually hasn't participated in training camp just yet. Before the first day of training camp, head coach Jonathan Gannon told reporters that he suffered a calf injury training at the team facility beforehand, and he is yet – to participate in a training camp practice, and that's been one of the major storylines actually around here. Walter Nolan, first-round pick for the Cardinals, hasn't been spotted at training camp at all participating. He's been with the team, he's been in the meetings, he's impressed in that end, but we've yet to see him on the field, and we're starting to get a little bit of a sense that he could miss week one in New Orleans, but nobody's really sure about him.
Now, Donnie, how much pressure is Kyler Murray on there? And what I mean by that, you know, is it the hot seat, whatever? Look, he's going now, entering what, his 7th year on the job, and his inconsistency has been on the back half of the season. You know, when you watch him play, because he is very entertaining, explosive, and then you look at the connection between him and Marvin Harrison Jr. was kind of hit and miss last year. Now, they still produce, 8 scores, but what's your take on that relationship, and is that going to grow from the get-go, and can Kyler Murray really excel at a high level the whole season? And then, you know, obviously you always want to get to the postseason. But is it like, because what they've guaranteed him, is it like, okay, Kyler Murray, we need you to really do something this year for the Cardinals or what?
Yeah, it certainly feels like that. I think just because we've seen the talent that Kyler Murray can have, former number one overall pick, former Heisman Trophy winner. He's gotten them to the playoffs before, but that was back in 2021. You see the upside with him. He's a guy who has really great arm talent, very athletic. The upside is certainly there, but like you pointed out, the consistency really isn't. And the line between good and great is very, very thin. The great ones are able to be consistent at a high level over and over again, and that's just not something that Kyler Murray has done to this point in his career. But now the Cardinals have loaded up the defensive out of the ball this offseason, getting guys like Josh Sweat, Calais Campbell, Dalvin Tomlinson in the free agency, and spending 6 or 7 draft picks on the defensive side of the ball to hopefully balance things out to where Kyler doesn't feel like he has to play that quote-unquote superhero ball week in and week out. And playing under offensive coordinator Drew Petzing, it'll be his 2nd full season playing under that, so there's hope a little bit of that continuity can carry over. And you talk about Marvin Harrison Jr., a little bit of a disappointing season, I think, with a lot of people's expectations of him being a number 4 overall pick. But like you said, 885 yards, 8 touchdowns last year. I tell you what, he looked damn good in training camp. He's catching a whole lot. He's bulked up, added about 15 pounds of muscle to his frame from year 1 to year 2. So it looks like he's ready to take that sophomore surge. I do think that connection between Kyler and Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be better. How much better will it be? Will it be enough to get the Cardinals offense hit that good to great level to get them to the postseason? Nobody really knows, but they can run the football, and if Kyler Murray can stay consistent and not do too much and basically not lose them games, I think that's ultimately what they need Kyler Murray to be, is a game manager with the athletic upside to make plays whenever it needed. So I think when you look at the hot seat, I don't necessarily think it's fair to say Kyler's on the hot seat, but it's basically put up or shut up time here in the desert. If they don't make the postseason, I'm not sure if Kyler Murray's the first that's going to be gone. I think Drew Petzing might be the first off the chopping block, because heading into year 3 under Jonathan Gannon, you had the division lead last year, 6-4 heading to the bye week. You go 2-5 down the stretch of the regular season. If that happens again, something's got to change. I'm just not sure if it's going to be Kyler names first being drawn out of that hat.
Now, Donnie, the one thing, and Kyler Murray's a big part of this, you know, he can run the football. He averaged like 7.5 yards a run, almost 600 yards rushing. But does he get enough respect? The running back, Connor, I was saying he's a 1,000-yard rusher. And, boy, and you look, well, 1,000 yards, well, you play 17 games, but averaging 4.6 yards a carry, that's just impressive. And then I look at each of the past two seasons, the Cardinals have finished around no worse than 6 in rushing. So it's like, even though you got Marvin Harrison Jr. And they're getting the defense better, that I don't think they're changing as far as not wanting to run the football. It just seems like that's their swagger. Like, hey, we're going to punch you in the mouth. We want to run the ball.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and we have to remember that offensive coordinator Drew Petzing comes from that Kevin Stefanski coaching tree. So you know they're going to run the ball 30, 35 times a game. And everybody's very excited about James Conner. I agree. I don't think he gets a lot of the national respect that he should. But everybody's also excited about second-year running back Trey Benson, the Florida State kid, the second running back taken in last year's draft, 2024. It took him a little bit to get going last year, but he put some really good things on film. He's managed to impress this offseason. We've heard coaches and teammates say that the Cardinals basically have two starting running backs between James Conner and Trey Benson, too. So they're very excited about that. But undoubtedly, they're going to run the football. They're going to stay true to their identity. And there's a lot of talk about Marvin Harrison Jr., but Trey McBride is one of the NFL's best tight ends, and he seems to be basically uncomfortable right on a week-to-week basis. So that's another layer that defenses have to worry about over the course of four quarters.
Now, Donnie, I think all teams here in New Orleans also, we look in the trenches. Are you winning on the offensive defensive line? And we had mentioned, you mentioned how they addressed the defense. Busy offseason, adding, top-notch talent to the defensive line and edge rusher. Do you think when all said and done, was that what the Cardinals fan base wanted? And what's your first impression? Because the season's going to be here before you know it. Do you think that was the right move and they will have that much of an impact?
I do. I do think that was the right move. I was pretty critical of them not addressing the receiver position over the offseason. They really didn't make any personnel changes on that side of the ball. They replaced starting right guard Will Hernandez in free agency with second-year guy Isaiah Adams. They ended up re-signing Will Hernandez to be a backup while he rehabs from a torn ACL. And then whenever he gets healthy, we'll kind of see from there. But they're pretty confident and their offensive line, but the defensive line. I remember the first day of pads, whenever they was come on in training camp, they dominated. The Cardinals' offense could not do anything on a consistent basis time and time again. That's been the case against the Kansas City Chiefs and the Denver Broncos, at least whenever the starters were out there. Backups, a little bit of a different story, but that kind of is what it is whenever you head into the regular season, right? So it looks to be the right move, and for as much talk about the trenches and what they've done at both defensive tackle and outside linebacker, getting Will Johnson in the second round, he's had two holding penalties called on him in preseason, but from the little that we've seen, he looks every little bit as one of the top cornerback prospects that was in the draft. And as long as that knee can stay healthy and hold up over the course of a few seasons, the Cardinals definitely feel like they got one of the better prospects in the draft in him.
Yeah, Donnie, shame on me for not really from the get-go recognizing the impact that Trey McBride. Whenever he hit that century mark, 111 receptions, right at 1,150 yards. Now, 10.5-yard average, but boy, talk about a security blanket for a quarterback, and I'm sure he's going to bring that to the table again. And then what about, when you watch the Super Bowl and all that, and who's a key addition, like Josh Sweat? I'm looking, obviously coming off a huge game in the Eagles Super Bowl, the pass rushing ability. What have you seen in Josh Sweat and obviously taking advantage of winning the Super Bowl with the Eagles and get that payday?
Yeah, I mean, getting Patty Mahomes down 2.5 times during the biggest right game in the world will definitely get you a paycheck, right? So he's been really great. And I think the big advantage here is that previously in Philadelphia, he worked with both head coach Jonathan Gannon and defensive coordinator Nick Rallis. He had his most productive year under those two. I believe he had 11 sacks whenever Gannon and Rallis were there with him with the Eagles. And there's hope that that can kind of transfer from Philadelphia to the desert out here in 2025. He has not played in preseason just yet, so we haven't seen him in live action, but so far so good whenever it comes to the Sweaty Jays, everybody likes to call him out here. Not quite a game record. He's not the best pass rusher in the league. I don't think it's really fair to put those expectations on him, but the Cardinals needed a number one bona fide pass rusher, and they believe they got that in Josh Sweat. And from my eyes, just watching him at training camp, it looks good, but I think we still have to wait to see him against guys not wearing the same color jerseys as him and a quarterback he can actually touch outside of Kyler Murray in practice.
You know, Donnie, I'm a big fan of, who also is a seasoned veteran, a man's man, a pro's pro, Calais Campbell. Boy, whenever he shows up, he's like almost like E.F. Hutton. When he says something, I know people listen. What about him and his involvement, like rotation with that D-line?
Yeah, so that he's definitely going to be a starter whenever his name pops up on the box score. He's going to get the registered start. But I think one thing everybody's going to see week one in New Orleans is that the Cardinals do rotate their front seven very, very heavily. There's going to be plenty of guys to get double-digit snaps over the course of that game. So while Calais Campbell is going to be part of the game plan, he's going to be a big presence in that room. I do not expect him to play every single down. He's just not that –
he's old.
Is what, 17, 18 years?
18 years, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I think more than anything, he's still shown the ability to produce and that he's still got a little bit gas left in the tank whenever he wants to. And he tries to pull off the old man jog, you know, maybe kind of go through the motions, overcome the drills. But team activities get going, 11-on-11 ball gets going, and all of a sudden he kind of finds a fountain of youth. So I think the Cardinals got the best of both worlds with him, you know, because they got the production, but then you also have a very young defensive line room. Guys like Walter Nolan, this year's first-round pick, Darius Robinson, last year's first-round pick, Dante Stills, who led them in sacks a couple years ago. It's a very young room, and they're hoping he can kind of mold those guys while also produce for them at the same level.
Donnie, one of the guys, and when he came out, scouted him in Paris Johnson Jr., the left tackle. And I always thought, you know, he was so athletic and he was a big man. He just sort of crushed people in front of him. But he has become such a good technician. And that's the jumps out for me in watching tape of him from last year, especially late. He really understands how to play the tackle position today. I'm not sure that was the case when he first got there. A little bit about Paris Johnson Jr., because I think if he can stay healthy, he's got a chance to be one of the elite left tackles in pro football.
Oh, absolutely. And a fun fact, guys, this will be his second year starting at left tackle for the Cardinals. Started at right tackle his rookie year. They moved him to the left side last year. This will be the first time he's starting at the same position since, I believe, high school, because Ohio State moved him around a little bit as well. And it's such a big advantage for a guy like that to not only be as talented and athletic as he is, excuse me, but to also carry the mental side of the game, too. I think you put it perfectly. He's a technician. And to quote the great Jonathan Gannon early this training camp, we asked him, what's the ceiling of Paris Johnson Jr.? And he says, Mars. And I think that's just a perfect, perfect kind of encapsulation of not only their expectations for him, but what he can actually be. It's going to be a very big year for Paris. He's shown he can block the best of the best at both sides. And that continuity, staying on the left side, protecting Kyler Murray's blind side, I think the Cardinals are in very good hands for the future.
Buda Baker. I mean, you know, because for a lot of people, when you think about the Cardinals, his name comes to mind real quickly. And you look at him, he's like, man, he reminds a little bit of Honey Badger. How could that little guy make all those plays? Man, you talk about a playmaker in the secondary. Well, it's Buda Baker.
And Donnie, we talk about Buda Baker. Even when the Cardinals weren't winning, it seems like he's always winning.
Oh, yeah, Buda Baker, he's a guy who he's going to lay it a la on the field, and there's so much respect for him locally and nationally as well. I mean, we're talking about a guy who fractured his shoulder on one of the first plays of the game a couple years ago and finished the game before he even had his shoulder looked at. And I think he's the personification of a tough player. He plays with so much heart and fire and desire. He does everything well, and he's such a great guy.
Donnie, thanks so much for joining us. Hey, looks like there's a lot of hope out in Arizona. And I do know one thing about the Cardinals. They play hard for their coach. They didn't win a ton of games late, but they play hard for Coach Gannon.
Yeah, you better pack a lunch when you're playing the Cardinals. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they love Gannon. The Cardinals have prioritized getting good, high-quality people in that locker room, and Gannon has those guys bought in. So.
Donnie, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much.
Much appreciated, guys. Take care.
All right, Donnie.
All right. Donnie Druin, who covers the Arizona Cardinals for Sports Illustrated.